Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in internet land. This is your host, John Stanko. As the announcer promised, and it is great to be back with you again today. And as always, a carefully handpicked guest will be joining me, the soon-to-be lead pastor at my church, Allegheny Center Alliance Church, right now the co-lead pastor. Pastor Alan Hanna will be joining us in just a minute to give you a chance to get to meet him and get to know him. Allegheny Center Alliance Church has been my church since 2001 when I left church here in town I had been with for many, many years. My wife and I had a list that we were going to go visit churches and see where we felt we belonged. And so the first Sunday, we went to ACAC. And I'm not even sure why we started there, apart from God's leading, because I knew something of ACAC, but I knew a lot more about the other churches that were on the list. Well, we were there that Sunday, and it was February of 2001, and they had a little orchestra, I believe, that day, a little band, some instruments. They were down on the ground, and Pastor Kelvin Walker was there, and he was leading worship. And then this man got out of the band and to come up and make announcements. I thought, okay, he's doing double duty. Well, it turns out it was Pastor Rock Dillaman, and you know, I thought, here's somebody not leading in the band, playing as a part of the band, then getting up and making the announcements, and then preaching a message. And we never went anyplace else. We never got down the list. We decided that that was the place that God wanted us to be. And so we started to attend. And it was a 30-minute drive for us from Monroeville, and I'm sure Pastor Allen, who lives out this way, can identify with that. But so we came, and you know, and it was totally different than anything I had encountered, because most of the churches I was in had been in where services were 2 hours long. This was 70 minutes, and I thought, yeah, they're cheating. You know, there's no way can this work. You know, we used to sing for an hour and 10 minutes, but it quote-unquote worked. And I can't think of a time in those early years when I came to the church and I didn't hear a word from the Lord. Now, I was traveling a lot. Someplace around 2003, I was invited into, I met Bruce Jackson, who was the executive pastor, out in California, of all places, because I was at ACAC and I said, I'm not going to tell anybody I'm there. I'm just there. I'm there as a worshiper. I ran into Pastor Bruce at a Peter Drucker conference out in California. About 6 months after that, I ran into him in the back of the church, and he said he had talked to me about doing some disc profiling, for the staff, and so I did at his invitation. Had a great time. That's when I really first met so many of the team, and we actually talked in 2004 or 5 about me having a part-time position at the church. Well, it didn't work out, and at that point, my invitations from Africa became, they came fast and furious, and before I knew it, I was spending 6, 7, 8 months a year on the continent of Africa, attending ACAC whenever I was home, which wasn't very often. Well, in 2008, all that ended, and my travels, I came home from England. I can remember it was like May, and I didn't go anyplace for the rest of the year. Just the invitations dried up. And one July, I was in the basement of the church, and Pastor Rock, I was down there. We had a library, and I was looking for a book, and I ran into Pastor Rock, and he said, you know, we're looking for an administrative pastor. Number one, would you help us kind of sort through the applications? And number two, I'm hoping that you will apply. Well, the thought had crossed my mind. I was, you know, Lord, if this cup can pass, you know, let it. But so I did agree to both. But once I put my application in, they felt it was a conflict of interest for me to help sort through the rest. I could have burned all the other applications, I guess. So I remember I had my interview with Enzo in September of 2008. I had a meeting with Pastor Rock in early December, and the end of January 2009, I did take the position of an administrative pastor for discipleship at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a great 5 years. I served until 2013, and I had promised myself if I felt what I had felt previously, that it was time to leave, I wasn't going to redouble my efforts. So November of 2013, we were looking for a pretty major transition. Pastor Sheldon had come on, and I just felt, you know, I just need to be honest and say I don't think I'm going to be part of this long term. And so I resigned. I think some people thought, you know, there must be some issue. And I kept saying, this is my church. There's no issue. I just feel like I need to get back to Africa more. I need to start a publishing, and it's just not fair to the church. They need to have somebody younger and somebody who can do what it is that they need to be done. So I think I've stayed true to the fact that it is my church. We have attended since I resigned. Of course, the church is still probably undoing the damage of the years that I was there, and that's probably why they have brought Pastor Allen in, not just to take that role in, but to continue to rebuild the structures that I undid, because I am a bit of a maverick from time to time. But anyway, looking forward to hearing Pastor Allen's. We all have a story, you know. We all have we all have a journey, and that's what we try to do here on Wake Up to Purpose, is just to have people talk about their purpose story. Now, tomorrow I'm going to post my daily devotional on Facebook from my book Your Life Matters, which is a daily reflections from the Book of Psalms, and the title of it is Your Story. So I look at Psalm 66:6. He says, "He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him." And this is what I wrote. The psalmists were constantly rehearsing and restating their history, both individually and as members of the people of God. They did this to help themselves in their current crisis, reminding themselves that God had been faithful in the past and he would be again. They needed that reassurance because they were in the midst of difficult circumstances. You also need to learn to rely on your story of God's faithful track record with you in times of trouble. It may not even hurt to write down your story, including all the blessings and all the recoveries you have made in the Lord, the latter being difficult times you survived by God's grace. You can also include in this list the benefits God has bestowed on his people, of which you are a part, things like forgiveness of sins, salvation, healing, health, his presence, fellowship with other saints, and the like. And then these are the questions that I ask to help you apply what I just wrote. Do you need to review your story? Do you rejoice in what God has done for you, even if today is not a season with a reason to rejoice for you? Can you rehearse your past story in such a way that it encourages you today? Can you tell it to someone else? So, your story. And now we're going to hear Pastor Allen's story, and I want to welcome him to Wake Up to Purpose. Pastor Allen, thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, John. It was great to hear your story, connection with ACAC, and what brought you here. I enjoyed that.
Yes, I'll share you. If you ask around, you'll hear many more stories, some of which could not be broadcast on the air. But I appreciate the grace of God that covers all frailties and sins. But welcome to ACAC, the family, and not that I'm in any official position to welcome you as apart from being a member. But we're very excited to have you on board. Excited to what we've seen so far, and we're looking forward to a very bright future. So welcome aboard.
Yeah, it is a joy to be here, and I mean that. And I will say, so your story lines up with the story that I have heard here, which is always good, because whenever you are in an organization and someone's not there anymore, sometimes those stories don't line up. But I can assure you are spoken of very highly here, And I know the way you just felt the Lord leading you and your obedience to the Holy Spirit. And so there's no damage control that needs to be done. So
that's good to know. You know, I've felt, and I'm not just saying this now, I've said it back in the early 2000s when I first came, ACAC is in the right place at the right time with the right message to make a serious impact on the world. And that's why I was so, always was and still am, so passionate about ACAC telling their story to as many people as would be willing to listen, because I think what God has done in our midst in having a cross-cultural ministry and church and the community outreach that it's had, it's, as I've traveled, it's unlike most churches where that I have ever been to. And so you have been entrusted with a wonderful opportunity, and everything I hear just tells me you're going to take it to the next level. So let's get started. Tell us a little bit about your story. Tell us about Pastor Alan Hanna, and we'll hear about your journey that brought you now to ACAC.
Yeah, there might be several editions or excerpts of that novel, so I'll give I'll stick to the Reader's Digest version. But it has been a story. That's probably the best way to put it, or quite a journey. I can tell you, a year ago, I was even thinking this morning, where my wife and I were a year ago, we were in the middle of an interview process, and so got where God had led us. I was on staff at another church locally, a place where I had served for a little over 10 years, and I thought our story would finish there. I planned on retiring there, never in a million years thought our time would be through. But what made me think of this morning was that God had closed that door before he had opened another door. And it was almost as if I was in a hallway where there were no doors that were open. And God often works that way, where he closes a door, and sometimes you just have to walk down that hallway of faith knowing that another door is going to open. So we were in the process of interviewing with ACAC, and without being overconfident or boastful at all, we just felt in our spirit from the very first time I visited ACAC that God was really calling us here. So to answer your question, though, our journey, I've been in full-time vocational ministry as a pastor for nearly 25 years. Most of those years were in worship. So I was a worship pastor for most of that time, and then about 6-7 years ago, really sensed a calling to move into a lead pastor role. And so while I remained a worship pastor, I also took on the responsibilities of like an executive pastor. And so really that our story has been in full-time ministry in the local church, but been happily married for, 22 years now to my college sweetheart. We met at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and have two children. And then in January of this year, January 2nd, we came on staff to succeed Pastor Rock Dilliman here at ACAC. And it is extremely humbling and honoring both at the same time. We're really excited. That's the short version of our story.
Yeah, let's go back and how'd you get to Pittsburgh?
So my family lives in Houston, and I was on staff at a church in Houston as worship pastor and executive pastor. Great church there, still have a great relationship with them. And it was one of those, like you had mentioned at the top of the program, I knew our season was coming to an end, but didn't know what that meant. We actually wanted to stay in the Houston area, but there were no doors that were being opened there. So a little background information. My father, I'm a pastor's kid. He pastored in Newcastle. He was an associate pastor in Newcastle. So I spent about 10 years of my childhood in Newcastle. And I always tell the story when I'm speaking of it, and I don't mean to offend anybody who may be listening or from the Newcastle area. However, I remember being 16 years old in the backseat of my parents' car, us moving away from Newcastle. And we didn't have we didn't have great experiences, and it was a long story. But I remember going, I will never live in Western Pennsylvania ever again. And so, sure enough.
Never say never.
Sure enough, God, we're in Houston, knew our season was through. There was a church that had reached out to me, and lo and behold, it's in Western Pennsylvania. I remember telling my wife when we were flying out here for our first interview, I said, honey, don't get your expectations up, because all I ever knew was Newcastle. But God called us here, and we fell in love. Like, I love Pittsburgh. I love Western PA. And while we've lived in a couple different places and my family's in Houston, this is home for us. And so we would not want to be anywhere else. And so God called us here, and then it's home to our kids, and that's how we got here from Texas.
Mm-hmm. Did the church, how did they find you? Was it like a search company, or did you have a mutual connection? How did the church in Western Pennsylvania hear about you in Houston?
Yeah, that's a bit of a story as well. So it was a search. As you know, John, there's just as there are Indeed or websites for secular jobs, there are those for, I think it was churchstaffing.com. But there was a church, another church in Western Pennsylvania that had reached out. I won't mention the church's name. But they had reached out, and we were going through an interview process, and this was for a worship pastor position. And at the time, the church I was at was about 600 or 700, and I really felt like, wow, okay, this was gonna be it. And then lo and behold, I got an email saying we're not interested. And I thought we were getting ready to fly out for an interview. So whenever you're turned down for that, I was like, wow, that's just weird. You know, what was it? Pressed. And I was like, I had pressed an executive pastor. You know, what is it? And I'll never forget, I got an email, and in all caps, it says, we need someone with large church experience. And in all caps, it says, it is just different. And I was like, wow. And so that door closed, and it was 7 days later, this other church in Western Pennsylvania, which was larger than the one that had shut it down, reached out and said, we want you to come out. So they had just found my resume, and it was a complete God thing. And so we came out, and we just knew, and had a great 10 years of ministry there. We knew God called us, very much like we know God called us now back to here to ACAC.
Yeah, over the years, of course, I've known so many people from ORU, and I used to do a lot of work for Southwestern Christian University Oklahoma City, and, you know, a lot of the staff and faculty were, you know, ORU grads. How'd you get there? Why did you choose there? Or was music involved with it? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was. So I was about 15 years old, felt a calling into ministry at a church camp. Never forget, just one of those, for anybody who's ever been to church camp and you had one of those moments where you just sensed God on you and you go to the altar, it was one of those. And I always had a musical background growing up, did music, and I just felt a calling into ministry, but I had no framework or idea what that was. So I had desired to go to Oral Roberts University. I'm trying to even remember how that happened. I didn't have any family or friends who had gone there. I think I just had heard about it, and my parents took me on a trip to visit the school. Long story short, it didn't work out financially, so I spent a year in just like a community college, and then I ended up getting a scholarship for music to go, and was at ORU for 4 years and had the incredible privilege. I traveled with Oral Roberts and Richard Roberts. So Oral, obviously the founder of the university, had stepped away right after my first year. So it just opened my eyes to ministry, and especially the worship ministry. My undergrad degree, though, however, was in organizational and interpersonal communications, which is like organizational science, human resources. My dad was smart enough, because at the time I didn't play any instruments and I was going to get a vocal major degree. And my dad was smart enough to say, son, I think you might benefit in something else. So and it has served me well through church ministry. But that's how God took me to ORU, and have many friends there, loved my time there, and have great memories of the school.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a couple of friends that, I mean, in the 70s sang. What were the singers for the school? Were they the Heritage?
World Action Singers is what they were
World
called.
World Action Singers. Marty Nystrom is a good friend of mine. He wrote As the Deer. I used to work for Integrity Music, so I traveled.
Yeah.
We did worship conferences all over the world. And then a woman who was his contemporary, Bonnie Duchelle, is married to her husband, Tom, and she pastored in Zimbabwe.
Oh, wow.
And that was my connection. And now they've sent all their children, all four. I can't say that. At least two of them have gone to ORU, and, of course, Billy Joe Daugherty, and then, you know, Sharon.
Yeah.
So I've had lots of connection. Now, musically, are you instrumentalist, vocalist, both? What did you go, you know, what was your emphasis?
Yeah, at ORU, I primarily sang. I do play piano, keyboard, acoustic guitar. So in my worship leading days, I lead from acoustic or piano. But primarily vocal has been, that's my number one instrument.
Yeah, yeah. Any composing?
I did a little songwriting, more worship stuff. And some of the churches that we were involved in did a lot of collaboration with that, and recording, producing that side. It seems like forever ago. I love that, and but these days I don't get to do that. I probably haven't even picked up a guitar in probably 4 weeks. But I really enjoy that. Did a little bit of that. Not so much anymore.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Pastor Alan Hanna, who soon is going to be, right now he's the co-lead pastor at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. Soon he is going to be the lead pastor, and we're just getting to know him a little bit better. Now, you mentioned collaboration and songwriting and such. You had an Easter project that you were pretty excited about this year. Tell us about that.
Yeah. It was called The Blessing, the Pittsburgh Blessing, and I'll give you the background of how that came to be. It's a video, a collaborative video that we put together. There were just nearly under 30 churches in the Pittsburgh area that were involved. It's a virtual choir video. It's the best way I can explain it, to the song The Blessing that was written by Carrie Jobe and her husband Cody Carnes in Elevation Worship. So what happened, of course, COVID hit in March. And around that time, you know, churches weren't having gatherings as far as services go. And it was around that time the song The Blessing came out. Full disclosure, my wife heard it first and said, "This song is awesome." And so I listened to it. And I was like, "Man, that really is a killer song." And so we were working on okay, what does Easter look like here at ACAC doing services online? And some people probably wouldn't know this, but my initial idea with The Blessing was to do that here at ACAC. And I was talking with Josh, or our worship director here, about doing that. And then it was a Friday afternoon. I call it a crazy idea, but really it was a God idea. Just sometimes God drops these creative brainstorms in your mind, and I was like, man, this song is so powerful. And during this season when people are worshiping at home, they're not gathering, it would be incredible if we could get churches all across the city to come together and create this virtual video and show unity amongst diverse churches and just sing that God is for you. It's straight out of Numbers 25. Just sing the scripture over our city. Well, having a worship background and having been a worship pastor for years, there's a good friend of mine, he's the pastor at Amplify Church, Jason Howard. He is a worship guy who's now become a lead pastor, so we have a lot of similar journey. I called him, and I said, "I have this crazy idea." And he laughed, of course, and I knew he would understand having a music background, but I had to have buy-in of lead pastors. And
right.
So him being both, I knew he would get it. And I asked him, I said, is it crazy? And he goes, "Yes, but it's a good crazy." And he goes, "I'll do everything I can to help you." So over the course of 2 weeks, I mean, we literally put it together in 2 weeks. We found 30 churches that were willing to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
Huge props to Amplify, because they did really all the legwork as far as putting the video together. People just recorded videos of themselves singing this blessing on their phones, on their computers, any way they could do it, emailed it. We never were all together. Some of the people I still have not met face-to-face. And we put this video together, and it was supposed to release on Easter weekend. What we had talked about were the churches that were involved. We were going to include this as part of our online services at the end of the service as a show of unity. Well, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette somehow got wind of it, and they previewed it. And not only did they preview it, but they posted the link to the video in a news article on their website the Friday on Good Friday. It got over 100 and some hits in 24 hours. And so before Easter services ever came around, I was getting calls from CBS News New York, Fox News, and the thing took off. So we ended up having to release it early, which was a blessing in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it just went viral. And
the
power of it, obviously, for one, the song is powerful. It's straight out of Scripture. But I really believe it's the unity that was found in it. So, and then, lo and behold, churches, I mean, all across the globe have done this, and it kind of became a, lest I call it a fad, that really what it just took off, and people began
doing trend,
it.
Yeah, trend,
so,
right? Yeah.
Pretty amazing. All right. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Now, all right, so Christmas is coming. Are you planning anything for Christmas?
Yeah. It can only go downhill from here, right? Internally, we were planning Christmas. Yeah, I don't. I think the blessing is one of those things that if there's one thing I learned, when God gives you those things, we often get ourselves in trouble when we try to recreate God moments.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I am not. I'm very careful not to try to recreate anything that God has anointed or ordained on His own. But that's not to say we aren't putting our creative hats on here at ACAC and trying to do some things. And I will say this, I really believe, I don't want to go into great detail and give it away, but in that group in the blessing, I can see in the days ahead, probably more months and maybe even a year because of COVID, a time where we get some of these churches together, and I would love to see a point where we could do the blessing live, like a city night, a night of worship that really breaks down walls of division in the local church.
Yeah. It's quite exciting, and it was. We found at Integrity Music, you can't replicate a phenomenon of God. You know, every time we tried, it got less and less and less popular, and eventually the company, you know, after having a worldwide impact, is almost virtually no more. And it's just hard to replicate that Holy Spirit phenomenon. I want to go back before we talk about ACAC, the year before you came. You alluded to the fact that, you know, God closes some doors before He opens. Could you be a little more specific about your journey and some of the steps you took? Because if I understood correctly, you kind of you said, we believe God has something else, but we don't know what it is. But could you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah. As I mentioned, we were at a church here in Western PA. So, I just always thought I was going to retire from there, and we were very happy. Still have great friends from there. I've always believed in, God calls you to a church until He leads you away. You're to stay planted there, and so longevity it was always been very important to me and a high value. So we were there, but over. I'll give you the testimony of it. So it was November of 2018. So this would have been, a year and a half ago. There was just some things internally, which I won't get into, but God was just, there were some things happening that were causing us to be restless. And kind of like you were saying with your story here, you just, something wasn't right. And I'll never forget, it was November, maybe October of 2018, but I was in a quiet moment, and God said, do you want my best or do you want your best? And I'm a big journaler. I write down my prayers. I think it's so important. You kind of alluded to that in the beginning. It's so important, I think, to document prayers and ideas and purpose that God has put in your heart. So I wrote that down, and I wrestled with it because it really, God was saying, what if you being here is not my best for you? And I couldn't picture that. I was like, God, this is, you've had me here for 10 years. Everything is set up. And it took me about 3 to 4 months of wrestling with that. And then it was, I want to say, I don't have my journal right in here in front of me. I want to say it was it was February or March. I think it was March 7th. That I finally, I wrote in my journal, I said, God, I want your best. And if that means that it is not where I'm planted, I'm willing to let that go because I know your best will be better. And John, I'm not kidding. I wrote that and instantly I knew we were gone. Like, I mean, our circumstance didn't change. We still were wrestling with some of the issues that were there. There was, I didn't even know of ACAC yet. I knew of the church locally, its reputation. But it was just, I just had a complete peace. But I knew we were going to be leaving. It was 5 days later, I got an email from Slingshot and saying, there is a church in downtown Pittsburgh named ACAC who's going through succession. We think you would be a great fit. Could we have a conversation with them? It was 5 days later. And I was like, sure. And then the journey began. So it was just, it was a trying 2 years. There's a book by Samuel Chan called Leadership Pain. I just looking back now, even I know we'll talk about ACAC, but going through COVID and everything, the craziness that 2020 has been, I look back and I go, that year and a half, those 2 years of pain that we went through of figuring out, you know, God, what are you doing? Why are you leading us away? It drove me to my knees and really prepared me for this season here. And just perspective, you know, hindsight's 2020. It could not be more true. So that was our journey in that, and I could tell you countless prayers as we prayer journaled through this, ways in which I look back and go, wow, God, you answered that prayer, and it truly is a way, because I never would have imagined being here at ACAC and looking back. My gift set, I believe my anointing and calling, and just it is, ACAC feels like the home. Like just day one, we walked in and like, this is home. And when God writes that, it really is so much better. It's just hard to see it sometimes on the front end.
Yeah, indeed. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Pastor Alan Hanna, who will soon be the new lead pastor. Right now, he's the co-lead pastor at Allegheny Center Alliance Church on the north side of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Okay, Alan, talk, you know, the call comes, you come to ACAC. It's been almost a year. Talk to us. And that's an unfair statement because there's been so much going on, but you jump in wherever you would like and just tell us about what you've learned and what you're seeing and anything else the Lord lays on your heart.
Yeah, it's been 8 months, which in some ways it seems like it's been 8 years. In some ways, it seems like it's been 8 days. So, as I shared this weekend in our message with the church, no one expected this year. None of us did. Whether you're working a corporate job or whether you've been pastoring for 20 years or you're just starting out, Pastor Rock, who's been here for 36 years and is retiring, never envisioned leaving this way. So, but with all of that said, I see God's hand in this. There are so many ways in which COVID has, I believe, made my transition easier. As crazy as that may sound, you know, one of the things I said, and Rock even referred to it in the weekend before, is that tests and trials, you know, they reveal character. So I think going through this difficult 6 months, to me, has revealed the heart of ACAC, like how mature, spiritually mature this church is. It's revealed its leadership. It's revealed its congregational leadership as far as elders and the board, the health of the staff. And I hope it has revealed who I am to the congregation. Just practically speaking, there have been some changes and things that we got to incorporate and do that probably would have taken years, but because of necessity, speaking digitally and online or social media, we just got to jump in, and no one said anything about it because it was, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. So we just got to make some quick changes, and it went really well. So, I mean, we're not out of the woods yet. I'm excited about the future, but I feel very supportive and loved. The hardest thing, the most challenging thing, has been, you know, first 2 months, I felt like I was at a point where I was just starting to get to know faces and get to meet people and know the names, and then all of a sudden, we're not gathering. So while in a lot of ways it's been really good, the hard part has just not been able to pastor people on a personal level, on a relational level. As I said this weekend, digital does content really well, but it's lousy at connection. And so that's been the hardest part, just not hugging people, having face-to-face conversations, getting to learn the names and put them with faces. That's been the challenging part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You talked a lot this past weekend about the dialogue, the discussion about having public meetings. You want to share some of that? And you raised some, you know, so you anticipated or had probably heard some of the questions that you presented in your message over the weekend. Just talk to us about the pressures, the discussion, the need, like you said, the church is not the same without connecting personally, but this may not be the right time to do that. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so for a little background information for those who may not attend ACAC, we have not regathered on site throughout the whole COVID. I think March 16th was our last weekend of public services. So even this weekend, we will be solely online. There are churches both in our area and, of course, nationally that have begun to open. And, you know, we were talking even before the show began, it's just the polarization of everything. And that, unfortunately, has even crept into the church and how we respond to gathering. So I did this past weekend, my message is called The Question for 2020, which it was a vision sermon, you know, really outlaying or giving a description or reason why we have not gathered to this point and where we're moving forward for the next 11 weeks. We feel we have been led by the Spirit in doing that. We are going to resume small public gatherings starting the first weekend in October. So we'll go to 2 services, capping those at 100 people. Masks will be required. We'll have live worship and live preaching, but we're going very small, and that is very intentional. First and foremost, for me, it's rooted in Scripture. I preached from Philippians 2, 4 and 6. Jesus came, though he was God, humbled himself, didn't take advantage of his position, but he came to not only serve, but lay his life down. And for me, that's the definition of what a Christian is, what a Christ follower should be, and therefore the church. So our position and where I sense and intuit the Holy Spirit is that's what God's calling us to do corporately, to think of our neighbor, to think of our neighborhood more highly than ourselves. I know that is not the response that every church's position has taken. I would assume it is, you know, scripturally speaking, but that in regards to regathering. So I addressed the elephant in the room, if you will. You know, the first question is, well, you know, why is ACAC not open when other churches are? And first and foremost, I'll say it again, I'm only responsible and our church is only responsible for doing what the Holy Spirit would have us do. And so I would assume other churches are following that leading as well. So while I'm not going to criticize them, I ask that they not hold us in judgment either. So, but with that, you know this, John, because you've been here, is that we are located centrally in the north side, which is a completely different context than other churches that may be in surrounding counties that have different guidelines, different restrictions, and view the COVID-19 virus differently. So I went in and explained that. You know, I addressed the fear question. As I said, this one gets me a bit riled up because, you know, we've had people accuse us of, you know, by not opening, we're leading in fear, and that is just not true. We're leading in love. We're not leading in fear. And I would challenge those people, hey, as a new pastor 8 months on the job, with Pastor Rock retiring, the easiest thing, believe me, it would be far more easier to open our doors and say, you know what, we're coming back. We feel God, this is the path God's had us on, so we're going to lead in faith in that. And last but not least, you know, there's a lot of talk about taking a stand for religious freedom or for our rights and our privileges. And again, I simply go back to Philippians 2, Paul saying, it's not about our rights or our privilege. It's about us dying to self and going to the cross. So, at that point, I asked our church, and this is, again, I'm only speaking to our congregation, you know, what will the story be told of us 100 years from now and how we handled the pandemic? And my prayer above everything is that we serve well, we love well, and we worship well, and that we did follow the Holy Spirit's leading. So, yeah, you just got... Anybody who didn't hear the sermon, you don't have to listen to it now. You got the whole thing.
You just got the cliff notes. Well, I think it ties back to, in my estimation, to what you said earlier, that COVID has forced the church, and I'm not talking ACAC, I'm talking the body of Christ, to look for new ways of delivering ministry. And I know, and just as an individual, you know, and I'm a social media radical, and I've been screaming for years, you know, we need to be doing more and giving people more windows into who we are as the body of Christ. But I wasn't doing as much as I could. And I have to be truthful, I have found that the social media, where we have not thought it would be as effective connecting with people, it's sometimes because we haven't given it a chance or because we don't want it to. And so therefore we have cut off its potential effectiveness to do some of the things in discipleship and connecting that needs to be done. And so... you know, I have seen this. I've never said God sent the pandemic, but certainly He is using it, and the church has been in turmoil about that. And again, not talking ACAC, I'm talking about the general body of Christ. And so, you know, I've seen some of the things that ACAC has done that I agree with. They would never have moved forward. It would have been very controversial, or just the weight of history being against it. But you've also done, and you being ACAC, some really interesting things with the community, which is so much of ACAC's reputation and their legacy in the community. Talk to us about some of the things that have been going on beyond social media that I know you're very, you're very, for the right word, is proud, or at least you're very happy to see what's going on during this time.
Yeah, first and foremost, as I said in the message, my first thing was we need to serve well. We need to think of our community. We need to think of our neighbors. And I, in my message this week, I referenced Acts chapter 11, where it's one of the first churches, Antioch in Syria. Here's a diverse church, that brand new church, and God's doing amazing things. And there's a prophet from Jerusalem that comes named Agabus, and he prophesies that there's going to be a famine. And this early church of believers, you know, they don't ask questions at who's at fault. They don't say, well, this must be a sign. Mm-hmm. God's coming back, or this is a sign of this. There's a sign of this. They ask three questions. If the famine comes, and this prophet is right, who is going to be most affected and hurt by it? Second question, what can we do to help, and who's going to take it to them? Their absolute DNA and their heart, their first thought was to serve the people in need. And that has to be. I know it is the history of this church, which is why I love it. And as new pastor, I declare and promise that will not change. Our first, the first thing has to be to look for those who are in need and to serve. So God has opened up a couple really out of the blue things. The United Way came to us recently. As you know, the Pittsburgh Public Schools, the first 9 weeks of this school year are solely online. And while, again, my son is in a school out Westmoreland County, he goes 2 days and he's home the other three, and surrounding counties, a lot of them are doing hybrid. Pittsburgh Public Schools said, nope, 9 weeks, we're solely online. Right or wrong, that's what it is. And so you have families here that mom and dad, they may be one-parent homes. They either can't go to work, and so now that there are financial implications of that because they have to be there for their third grader or second grader or kindergarten, or they are going to work and now their child is left at home on their own trying to figure out how to school. So the United Way came to us and said, look, we're going to financially, if you're willing, we trust you, we know you have the manpower, you have the reputation in the community, if you can do these learning hubs where you hire people to be room monitors and to give educational support and emotional support to these students who need it, we'll partner with you. And we jumped on it. And so Monday, we're going to do 4 days a week, kindergarten through 12th grade, up to 100 students. And we're going to provide two meals a day and just walk alongside of them and say, you know, hey, can we help you with homework? Hold them accountable. Make sure they're online watching class. And it's a great thing. And then the other thing, we have done a compassion hub here throughout the summer, just really trying to meet the physical food needs, the hunger for kids in our community. And we were doing that in the summer, and we're going to continue to do that again. And we're just broadening that to help families who are in need in food. So, yeah, it's not a position of bragging whatsoever. It's just it really comes out of a heart of, I mean, God help us if we're a church here and we're not meeting the needs of the community.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're in the right place at the right time with the right message. And you know, that whole story of Agabus, it occurs to me that, you know, the Gentile church made a decision to support the Jewish church. And so it really was a massive step in reconciliation, a massive step in recognizing that we are one, that we are, you know, that we are in this together, even if only a part of the body is going through something. So it was really a very significant overture that spoke you know, we think of it, okay, they were just helping the poor, but this was stepping across a cultural and religious divide to make a significant statement of the unity of the body of Christ. And so you're right, ACAC is so uniquely positioned in its reputation, in its venue. We were down the other day, I dropped something off and just saw the and I had seen it before, the setup for the distribution of the food, the meals to the students. Most churches couldn't do that, but with the drive through and not that we have a huge campus, but it was just perfect for, you know, and the tent being set up close to the kitchen and the access to volunteers. And so, you know, and you say, Lord, how many more opportunities are there like that? If we're open to it, God, don't let it have to be a pandemic for us to see the opportunities, which, of course, ACAC has never waited for. And also the Nest. Talk to us a little bit about the Nest.
Yeah, the Nest is a resale shop that is opening on East Ohio Street. The unique thing about it, it is in partnership with Women's Choice Network, who we have partnered with them, who obviously helps young women who have become pregnant, and rather than have an abortion, we want to walk alongside them and provide help in any way that we possibly can. And so this Nest resale shop is a children's resale shop, and we have recruited and advertised people to donate nearly new clothing items for children, and it'll open up and provide really high-quality children clothing at a very, very affordable price. And we're excited about that, and we love the fact that it's here on the north side, and again, we can't say enough great things about Women's Choice Network.
We've got just about, we've got 7 or 8 minutes. Anything you can share, and I don't want to steal thunder on anything that's coming up, but any general thoughts for the future, or you know, where you see ACAC is heading? And I know this Mr. Pandemic is certainly is a factor to be reckoned with, but just any thoughts
sure.
you can share about impressions or thoughts for the future?
Yeah, let me two things. Before I get to the future, though, I really feel, because there may be some who listen to this, and I want to be very careful that I don't paint a picture that, you know, ACAC, wow, there's no problems. It's like they're doing all these great things. You know, one of the things, and Pastor Rock said this to me when we were interviewing and as I came on board, diversity is not easy. And, you know, even going through the pandemic, you know, we have a board that 50%, you know, almost half of our elders are African-American, Asian, I'm half Hispanic. We bring different perspectives. We're generationally diverse, politically diverse. So, you know, I don't want to paint this picture that we're just all big,
one big,
perfect,
happy
family. No, we are not.
Well, never mind then. We're going to end the interview right here. That's it.
Yeah. And it starts with the new lead pastor. You know, I'm learning. I mean, I am. I've made mistakes in the first 8 months. I'm learning and to lead in this. This is my first go out of the gate at being a lead pastor. You know, I remind our team that, you know, even going, we never even touched on the racial unrest, but you know, there are those that we say too much. We don't say enough. But the point is, like, if you're gonna, we do hold diversity really high here. I mean, you know this again, so I don't mean to tell you this, but like, we believe it's biblical. The early church, the first church birthed in Acts, was a diverse church. It's who God has called us to be. We don't hold anyone in judgment, because I understand not every church can be that, but for us, this is who God's called us to be. But walking in that, that means you have to accept that there are opinions that are not like yours. And it gets really messy. So we're still, you know, figuring that out. We don't have a corner of the market on any of that. So I'd say that first. But you know, I'm really careful to articulate, you know, this is where we're going over the next 5 years. I said from the very beginning, my first weekend I preached here, I did not come to ACAC with a written out agenda, goal, or even vision. You know this, and we say it a lot around here, that we run errands for the Holy Spirit. I've learned, and I'm learning, you know, God doesn't often give you that errand list all at one shot. So I just day to day. You know, are there things that I have hopes, dreams, feel God's calling to? Sure. And I think He'll reveal that in His time. But right now, I just want us to serve well, love well, and worship well, even though it's going to be a little different. We're not changing the diversity who God's called us to be and following Jesus in that, for serving our community, for worshiping well and loving people and expanding his kingdom through world missions. So we're just, I know Pastor Rock has said, keep the main thing the main thing. That's my job, is to keep us doing the main thing.
Yeah. First time I ever preached at ACAC was 2003 or 4. And after I preached, somebody came up to me and challenged me why there wasn't a cross in our sanctuary, in our hall. And I said, well, you know, I've been a member. I mean, I've been here 2 years. I can't speak for the whole church. But my point in saying that is not to raise that as an issue. But I saw right then, and not that I didn't have a good idea anyway, but I saw right then the pressures that are involved in a church like ACAC. There are traditionalists. Yeah. There are people who come to the Lord and they're new. There's the cross-cultural aspect. Now there's, you know, it's exacerbated by a hyper-political environment. And it is. It's everything is scrutinized a little differently than if you were in. And again, you're careful to say it's not, ACAC is not better. It's different. And because it's different, and because of what God has chosen to do there, Blaine and I used to say all the time, I would go in his office, he would go in my office after a tough elders meeting or something else and say, this is no place for the weak. This is
But we
no
don't have
place
any tough elders meetings.
I know better. I lived it, and I used to sit there and play with my phone, or else I'd have started throwing my phone at somebody, in love, of course. But, you know, our Thursday pastors' meetings still I hold as some of the best meetings I've ever been in with leadership, because nothing was off the table, and we had some knockdown, drag-out, a discussion of issues, but immediately would be going to one another's office after the meeting to make sure that our relationship was intact, and I always appreciated that. And I felt we made some really, really good decisions because we had a diversity of thought. And I'll just close with this and let you make a closing statement. But, you know, our goal of diversity is not just so we look good, not just so we have everybody at the table. It is so we can hear everybody's perspective, as you mentioned earlier, that is so different, that as we are considering the direction of the Lord, we can hear from people of Asian descent and African-American and conservative and liberal, and so we can hear all those issues and make decisions. Pastor Allen, we've got 2 minutes. Any final words?
I would just say there are many have said to me, hey, this succession is going great so far. And I'm always quick to remind them that, you know, the transition doesn't start until Pastor Rock retires. And so, to, you know, to your point, when you talked about the cross and the sanctuary, you know, there are things that will be different just naturally, and it's not the main thing. We're not talking theology, doctrine, we're not talking goals and values of who we are, but I preach different than Rock. I have different, you know, quirks, and you know, there I'm sure over the next years there will be some subtle changes, but they aren't the main things. That's not who we are. It's not biblical. And so you know, I just will say that and remind especially our ACAC family that we'll now start hitting transition once Pastor Rock retires.
Well, God be with you, and we're looking forward to this season, and you have our support and our prayers, and we look forward to continuing the by the grace of God presence and legacy of ACAC in the community. So God bless you, and I'll have you back on again soon. We can talk about the racial issues.
All right. Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
God bless. All right, Alan. God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, there you had Pastor Allen Hanna, new lead pastor at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. Friday, I'm going to have my business mentor, someone who helped me get started in business, Dr. Sandy Culkin, will be on the show. Until then, this is John Stanko, your host, and you be about the work of purpose until we're together again. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.